Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julietta Talevi, and joining me to take questions this evening are Ashraf Mohammed from Cornerpiece Capital and Rowan Williams from Nitrogen Fund Managers. Unfortunately, we're recording the show tonight because of some technical issues, but if you'd like to send questions anyway, which we will get to tomorrow night, you may as well send them through. You can SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Rowan, Ashraf, good evening to you both. Nice to see you there. Rowan, if I may start with you, it was a bit of a sort of an iffy start to the week for the JSE, but I guess that might be expected given what happened towards the end of last week, which were some extraordinarily powerful moves to the upside, particularly in the US markets, but it followed through to our own market. Do you think we're just taking a bit of a breather?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, it moved sideways today in the market, and actually quite good consolidation if you look at those outsized moves of last week. It all started with the CPI print that was slightly better than anticipated. We saw a sharp upward move, and the markets continued to move up from there. Friday continued momentum. Naspers did very well, and then Richemont came with very good quarterly numbers. So that continued to push the momentum. Incredible week last week. And the fact that the market was largely flat for today is actually quite positive because those gains were really held over the weekend. All in all, yeah, it's been a very purple patch for the Aussie.
Purple group results also out, and we'll maybe get to those in a bit. Ashraf, you know, there's a lot of argument, I suppose, as to whether or not this is just a rally within a bear market that is ongoing, or if we've seen the worst, or if it's actually maybe try and ignore the noise and focus on the results that are coming out of companies. There were quite a few today, which hopefully we will get to. Do you have a sense of this, or is it almost an impossibility to call?
Well, the market's being driven by US interest rates, and also by default, the US dollar. But if you look at South Africa's economic situation, our current account improved, then pulled back, and is likely to show an improvement again for the third quarter. We've had consumers under pressure, but not as bad as in the GFC. And I think that South African companies on a whole have managed to get through COVID and post-COVID quite well, especially with their balance sheets intact, especially when you look at the banks.
Yeah, I mean, the banks and the retailers. I mean, you know, ShopRite came out with an operational update today that seemed to absolutely dazzle the markets. What did you guys make of it? I mean, the shares were up, I think, about 7% at one point. They probably closed about 5 or 6% higher. Rowan, I mean, you know, Ashraf talks about companies coming through COVID and riots in South Africa's case and load shedding, and you're starting to see those figures actually being reported by companies. TFG, you saw last week saying how many trading hours they lost, how much they're having to spend on diesel and on power generation, and I think ShopRite says it's costing them 100 million rand a month. So it's a lot of money to keep going, which of course is going to eat into shareholder returns. But on the balance of what you saw, would you say these are still companies worth backing, or ShopRite in particular?
Yeah, so look, ShopRite in particular, the numbers were very good, exceptional sales growth. There were sort of tiny bits of soft base still coming through in terms of the riots last year, but overall an excellent performance, and yeah, the share price responded accordingly. I think more broadly, you are seeing different sectors impacting differently. So if trading conditions are good, I guess they can cover some of those cost increases in the case of, say, ShopRite. Food inflation, grocery inflation typically is good for a food retailer. They do get a little bit of margin expansion. Then if we look at the telcos, Vodacom reported today, where you're seeing the cost pressures come through, but not as strong top-line growth, and then you're getting margin compression. So it really depends how the operating environment is able to manage that relative to the cost growth. So it is a bit different, like banks doing well in this environment, and something like telcos doing less well. Retailers generally doing quite well, but we are seeing those cost pressures come through. And if the top line starts to just come down a bit, I think you'll start to see further margin compression.
Just talking about telcos, Ashraf, the telecom results seem to be horrible. I mean, do you think the share price is going to be fall further? You know, and of course they don't have the suitor of MTN anymore. And you know, which you know, if they had taken them off the market and succeeded in their buyout, it would have been great for Telkom, and they wouldn't have had to be so sort of exposed as to what is looking kind of a really bad set of financials about to hit us.
Yeah, so the trading update came out this morning before the market opened, and we see the shares down over 5% today. I think the problem for Telkom is that it's started moving away from its legacy business. The fiber business 2 years ago was really growing well, but competition increased, especially from the likes of Rain, but also MTN, Vodacom, Dark Fiber Africa, pushed into that market. And now with the competition around, they haven't seemed to be to have maintained the momentum. So my concern is that what was a fast growing high margin business for them is under pressure, and where is the growth next? So ultimately it becomes a value trap, and I see fair value between 25 to 30 Rand. My concern is, what is management going to tell us next week when they present those interim results? And my expectation is no good news.
Yeah, and I suppose you also don't have Sipho Maseko anymore at the helm.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of a hard act to follow, having cleaned up the business. Rowan, on the basis of this trading update, and what Ashraf just said, do you think Rain would still want to make a play for Telkom? Or that actually they could get it at a really good price?
Yeah, it seems the longer the suitors wait, the more reasonable the price gets, unfortunately. The problem, yeah, Telkom is sort of asset rich. It does have some really valuable assets to other operators, be it Rain or MTN, which they were obviously interested in. More obviously the spectrum and the fiber to the home network. But they're struggling to get any return on those assets in their sort of current operations. Obviously, the copper business is in decline. The mobile business not growing any as fast. So it certainly is, I think, more valuable to an acquirer. And I think Rain still would be interested if they could probably utilize the assets better and get a better return, and it could be profitable to them. So shareholders, I don't think will, if it, there is a takeover offer, you know, won't expect accept a very low offer. So that will regulate it somewhat. But in the absence of that, they're going to just struggle operationally.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you see, you know, how much, if they're writing new postpaid business in the mobile market, how much it's costing them. You know, they've got to pay for the handsets, and that only then comes into the business 24 to 36 months down the line. And I kind of wonder if they're not going to end up in some sort of awful cash crunch, which must be making them quite nervous. Ashraf, I mean, you had Telkom coming out with the trading update. You also had Vodacom coming out with their half-year results. They weren't spectacular, Vodacom's results, and yet the share price did okay. Why?
Well, share price was down 6.5%
at 1.2. Sorry, so, I might have looked at it when it wasn't as bad as that.
the growth is slowing. Also bearing in mind that the African businesses are also feeling top line constraint. Yes, those countries that are net exporters of commodities have delivered some sort of return for them, but not all African countries. And again, South Africa is a challenge. I mean, you are really running hard just to stand still. So to me, you know, Vodacom is an ex-growth business, and where they look to find growth is in media. That's what they said 2 years ago. But it takes a while for a strategy like that to come through.
So you wouldn't be, I mean, ex-growth, you wouldn't be buying them for the dividend?
Julieta, 3-4 years ago, the dividend was attractive, but I think our commodity stocks offer far better dividend plays and strong balance sheets.
Rowan, would you agree? I mean, are there any telcos that you would like? Would it be MTN because of it's not exposed to South Africa, although it's exposed to very risky regions in Africa like Nigeria, which can occasionally blow up on them?
Yeah, I mean, it does point to the tough trading environment, the sort of ex-growth environment, and the sort of struggle to generate other revenue like super apps and the likes. But yes, MTN, I guess, on the sum of the parts and maybe exposed to some higher growth African countries and jurisdictions, and the fintech operations, which have some optionality, I guess, not quite as attractive as they were sort of in this tech bull run, but I think are still real assets that have potential. It does look like your best prospect here.
And then you referred to Richemont coming out with results on Friday, which were just kind of the share price reaction was spectacular.
Yeah.
And there's a question from a viewer that came through earlier, and he said, first he wants to know our thoughts on Italtal. We'll get to that after the break. But he said, I've been trying to get the book value of Richemont, but they've had financial statements are in euros. Should I just convert those numbers to rands using the data from the JSE? Why would you want to get the book value, firstly? I mean, as a layman, why would you want that? What would how would it influence whether or not you buy or don't buy a Richemont?
Yeah, so maybe I can answer two reasons. The one is a valuation metric is price to book. So to determine if a share is cheap or expensive, it's a typical value metric. And then also you want to see the return on the assets in terms of the ability to generate a return on those assets. So the issue with often book values is they can be distorted with the goodwill. And in the case of Richemont, they did do substantial write-downs of their YNAP operation, of their sort of web-based operation. So that would distort it somewhat. I would certainly work in the functional currency, if it's Swiss francs or euro, that they report in. So no need to translate. Just work all your numbers in a single currency, in euros. And that way, you can calculate it. But you would have to do quite a lot of work to take out goodwill if that's your calculation and some of the historical cost.
Okay.
And you'd probably find they traded a significant premium to book because the value of their luxury assets and the goodwill there is significant. So it may be a bit less relevant in the case of Richemont.
Yeah. Ashraf, do you think, for you, would Richemont be reasonably priced, fair value, expensive? I mean, I did think when it came out with I can't remember if it was a trading update or their set of results sometime in March or April, and the shares absolutely, I think they were down 13% in one day, and I thought, this to me is a buying opportunity, but of course I didn't buy, and so now I'm kicking myself because from that point it's recovered very nicely. But given into account Friday's gains and the results that they reported, what would you do with vis-a-vis the share?
So, Julieta, I look at Richemont relative to its two competitors, LVMH and Kering. It's always going to be at a discount to LVMH. But a year ago, it was really cheap by comparison, and that was a great time to buy, as well as when the most recent results came out. I think that with the opening of China, it's going to be a big beneficiary again. And, people continue to write off its watch business. And that was considered a negative a year and a half ago. But I think that will come back quite strongly in the next 2 to 3 years. And I like it, but I think wait for a pullback. These markets have run strongly, and I think we are due for a small pullback in a lot of these shares.
Yeah. I mean, just, I suppose, Rowan, just to end off with, to get your view on Richemont, it wasn't too long ago that it was trading at 180 rand. It's now, 214 rand. So there's been a big jump up. Would you also wait for a pullback on Richemont, or just look at something else entirely?
Yeah, so you're right. I think the easy money has been made, or sort of if you bought at the right time. So now it's sort of market related returns. I think it still looks reasonable on a forward multiple, but there's some, it's more balanced. So there might be better value to be had elsewhere. So I guess that's, what a broker would call a hold.
Okay. Then there was a question, okay, so, same viewer actually asked a question about Italtal. I said I was going to get to that. And the question being, I'd just like to know the panel's thoughts on a company like Italtal. Ashraf, Italtal's been a very steady performer. It just kind of carries on trucking. Not necessarily spectacular on the JSE. What's your thinking around it?
So, Julieta, when their last set of results came out, they did indicate that there has been some volume pressure. So sales volumes are lower, and it is again one of those companies that benefited during COVID because people were expanding their homes, doing renovations, etc. I think right now we're probably going to go through a phase where there's going to be consolidation within the business. But if you're looking at it on a 3 to 5 year basis, it's definitely one of those companies that you buy and hold because it's a well-managed business. Its supply chain is controlled by the team right from source to client. And I've always liked them over time. Yes, there will be opportunities to buy them when the markets dip, but they usually recover very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, Italtal was one of my picks for the Financial Mail and also, I think, the Crystal Challenge, if I remember correctly. Rowan, on the basis of having reported on them for so many years, they always have very strong and capable management. They seem to be kind of frugally run. They don't do stupid things. They've got a very good sort of staff incentive scheme, a B and a staff incentive scheme that seems to be sort of fair to the employees of the business, which I quite like. I don't know if that means that the shareholder returns aren't as spectacular as maybe they could be, but at 14 Rand, do you think it's a good one to pick up?
Yeah, so I mean, what you're seeing is, just struggling for like secular growth essentially, because we're not seeing massive household formation. Mm-hmm. I guess at their end, there has been some households leaving the country, and then there was also, I guess, a once-off kind of beneficiary from COVID. So it's a little bit of a tricky one. It doesn't seem too exciting. So it's a good business, sort of at a good price, I think, as you say, very well run, proper incentives in place. But I guess it's hard to see the catalyst for exceptional returns. You might get steady returns, but not exceptional returns from an investment like this.
Yeah, as you said, they're up against a South African economy, which is under extreme pressure. There was a question that came through earlier with regards to the Brait announcement of the listing of Premier Foods on the JSE, and it was from an Ethos Capital shareholder, or EPE, who said, is there going to be a direct positive benefit on them, I suppose, with the Brait connection on Premier's listing? Ashraf, is it going to be an obvious and positive impact?
So I don't think it's a material impact of 10 to 15% on the share price, Julieta, but, you know, it sits within a fund. The fund will benefit from it, and the performance fees earned will flow through to shareholders ultimately. But I don't see it as being very significant for Ethos shareholders. But you know, I do think that Premier is very attractive at especially when you look at the competitors in the market.
Yeah. I mean, Rowan, we were talking about this before we went on air, and there seemed to be disagreement out there in the Twitterverse about the valuations of Premier, which I think they have put on a multiple of, you said, 6 to 7 times, which doesn't seem excessive. Or is it excessive for this particular environment? It seems quite cheap.
It depends on whose perspective you're looking at it. Brait's the seller, and the IPO sort of participants will be the buyers. You do have Titan, which is Christovis's investment arm, essentially backing the listing. It's positive from Brait's perspective because they needed to monetize this asset and raise capital to shore up their balance sheet, and it really improves the Brait liquidity. So that's positive. I think the IPO has been touted for some time, so it's good that they're getting on with it.
Yeah.
And I think the valuation, 6 to 7 times EBITDA, Seems reasonable, in fact. Yeah, it's not excessive, but it's not particularly high. So I think it is priced to be a successful IPO. Maybe a little bit's been left on the table, and it will attract, I think, quality investors, institutional investors. And then at some point in time, Brait holding around 50%, they start selling down around 50% of the company, may look to unbundle the balance of the investment out of Brait. So that would help in terms of realized value for Brait shareholders. So I think it is a positive development all around.
Ashraf, would you buy Premier, A, and B, would you buy Brait on the basis of the unbundling and also the results that they came out with?
So I would... 6 to 7 times EBITDA, as Rowan said, is fair. I don't really see more than 10 to 15% upside on listing. I would possibly, of the two, I'd buy Brait just for the value unlock.
And you would buy it now, prior to the listing?
I'd have to look at the Brait price. I haven't looked at Brait recently.
Yeah. I mean, the share price is 4.70, and they say that their net asset value is 8.40. But I suppose, you know, pick a number on what you want your net asset value to be. Maybe that's a little bit unfair because they do have, you know, this is going to be a soon-to-be listed asset. Rowan, I mean, do you think Brait is a steal, given that it is so far below its stated net asset value, or that one has to take the net asset value statement with a pinch of salt?
Yeah, certainly. I think the market obviously doesn't maybe agree necessarily with those management value of the assets. This Premier will be actually quite a good sort of test because they are actually doing the listing at a slight discount to the value that they held it at, I think around a 10% discount. So obviously if it appreciates on listing, that would sort of close that discount that they did to sort of get the listing away, which may sort of give an underpin to the valuation of the rest of the portfolio. The key issue, though, is Virgin, the gym chain, remains a significant asset. And that sort of has obviously had a very mixed trading period with the shutdowns and COVID and is now recovering. But the sort of valuation of that, the sustainable valuation, I think there's a lot of difference of opinion. But now that they're shoring up the balance sheet with the listing, I guess Brait does look like a more sound prospect, and maybe this is the start of a final value unlock for Brait shareholders.
Yeah, although nothing like the return to the glory days of 170 Rand, but hey-ho. Getting to your stock picks tonight, gents, Ashraf, what takes your fancy?
So mine is a short on Nedbank. It could have been Standard Bank as well, but... to me, Nedbank was the one that's run hardest more recently and also has a balance sheet that's not as strong as Standard's. I just think that banks have had a good run. Their top line is going to come under pressure this year. So I would be selling it for 5 to 8% downside.
Okay. Rowan, how about you?
We are going long Coronation. It has underperformed with the markets this year. It's obviously exposed to financial conditions, and there has been some top-line pressure, obviously, as performance has lagged somewhat. But it's got too cheap, I guess, and what it is a bit of an option on markets. So it has bounced off its lows, and it has a very high dividend yield, which provides a very solid underpin. So you've got like a 10% yield, but with the potential as markets improve and valuations improve as they have recently, that you would get that exposure through Coronation. So sort of a value play with some optionality on the market.
Okay, great. Gents, thanks very much. And thanks for joining us this evening. Much appreciated to you both. Ashraf Mohammed is from Corner Peace Capital. Rowan Williams is from Nitrogen Fund Managers. And Zanati will be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night. Have a good evening. We'll be right back.